Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is your host, Diane Thomas, and we are talking about questions and answers and setting supernatural goals. And our specific topic for today is overcoming the fear of things that go bump in the night. Because we've been talking a lot about not only overcoming our negative personal habits and issues in a timely manner, you know, setting objective goals and reaching them, but we've also been talking about becoming comfortable with setting goals for developing new skills and becoming comfortable in dealing with anything in the supernatural realm. Now we're specifically going to go through a lot more in depth in our Thursday morning series. So if you want to catch up, that's all available on the archive. And going forward, we're going to go very specifically and very detailed into dealing with things in the supernatural realm. If you're not familiar with the three realms of reality, I'd encourage you to check out the chart. And we've been working on getting some of these links fixed, so hopefully by the time you go there, we'll have that link fixed as well. So, basically, as a reminder, there are three realms of reality. And as is true with everything we talk about, we're coming at this from what God has revealed to us. We're not saying that other people are wrong in what they teach or what they understand, or that they've even, you know, that we're even right. You know, what we are saying is we are expressing the best we can what God has revealed to us. So we're not saying that what you've been taught is wrong. What we're saying is take what you've been taught to God. That, you know, you and I and duking it out about issues really isn't going to resolve anything, because we aren't the ones who get to decide what is right, what is wrong. God is the author of reality. He created everything. So he gets to be the one to say, this is what I meant by that. Now, I've written three books that are available at wecanprepare.org. And when people want to try to understand or to know what I meant by what I wrote there, hopefully they will contact me and ask me, what did you mean by this? And we can enter into a discussion and clarify. Rather than just discounting it altogether or taking it to someone else that didn't write it, that wasn't the source of that piece of information. So we want to do the same thing with everything God is doing, and recognize that it is not up to someone else to interpret God. We can share and we can encourage, but that sharing should be towards the dependence on God. That encouragement should be towards gaining understanding from God himself. That's always going to be the bottom line. If someone encourages you or motivates you to rely on anything or anyone other than God himself, then there's a hindrance that is being built up. God himself is the only one who can interpret and explain, this is what I meant by this. And generally what he does with that, it's not about understanding. It's not about information. It's about change. He wants to bring us into a greater freedom and joy and peace and knowing him. So as we recognize that he is the one who can answer all our questions, our confidence is built up not on our being able to figure him out, but because he has shown up. He has revealed to us what we need. He has shown us this is how this works. We also come to the realization that how it works for one person may not be the way it works for someone else. It's really interesting because, again, God does not want us pigeonholing who he is and how he acts. He wants us instead to be available and flexible and reliable in our relationship with him. He's not concerned about how things are going from his perspective here on this earth, because they're going exactly the way he intended and created them to be going. Everything's right on track. Everything's going according to plan. He's not bowing to the whims of our damaged wills or our damaged emotions or our damaged minds. He's doing exactly what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. And as we experience who he is in our own lives, instead of relying on the strength of our mind, will, and emotions, and we just let him be him, we also learn to be us. Now, what this does is it frees us to take risks, to make mistakes. We've been talking for quite a few weeks about our desires that God gives us toward the supernatural realm. And just a quick review, there's the three realms, the natural, the supernatural, and the spiritual. Now, the spiritual realm, there's only two beings that exist there, and that's God and us. And we're really one. Now, spirit is God's nature. So it's perfect, it's holy, it's complete, it's entire, and there's no time, and there's no change. In your spirit, you know everything that is going to happen to you. And you've agreed with God that what he's doing in your life is what you want. You're joining with him already. So we are free to argue with ourselves rather than be arguing with him. In other words, you don't have to try to get God to do something in your life. He's already working in your life, and you are working with him. You are already joined with him in what's going on in your life. This is where we get caught up in some of those hindrances that, you know, regarding our will and his will and the whole past, present, future thing. And, you know, how, are we does what happens in the world depend on where we are, how spiritually mature, how much understanding we have, you know, our lack of sin, or is God truly sovereign? You can't have it both ways. If there's an area in any existence, in any realm that God created, that God is not sovereign, then he's not God. There's no way, think about it, is there a way that God can carve out of himself an area where he is not himself? And if there is, then he is not complete. There is a place where he is not. And that nullifies the whole concept of omniscience and omnipotence and holiness and completeness. And he's not the God that he says he is. So if that's the case, we're the ones who need to change our beliefs about why he does what he does. And instead of bringing our own doctrines and beliefs to the table to ask, we just, Lord, what's going on here? Sometimes he gives us understanding, sometimes he doesn't. But we can always ask him, Lord, is there anything I should be doing? Lord, is this you? Because, you know, he's done. He's done. He knows everything that's going on in this world, in this earth, and in you. He's seen the beginning from the end and everything in between, and he's there right now. And so are you. So what's going on in your circumstances is not his focus. It may be our focus, but it's not his focus. You are his focus. Bringing you, yourself, each one of us, into unity, spirit, soul, and body. What did Jesus pray? You know, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one. Even as the Father and the Son are one. Now, Jesus was here on earth in human form. And yet, he was one with the Father even then. Likewise, we are one with him in our spirit, and are working towards our body and our soul catching up with our spirit so that we join our spirit in being one with God. So if that's his goal, we can put into perspective every other circumstance of our life, every other circumstance of our what's going on around us, our situation, and we can see them all as the tools that God is using to reveal to us where we have wounds that need to be healed, where we are relying on our flesh, and where we are relying on anything other than him. He is both driving us to him and drawing us to him. And I'll tell you, I'd much rather be drawn to him than driven. So if we embrace the training and these opportunities that God gives us, God's going to get us where he wants us, whole, complete, and entire, spirit, soul, and body. But we can join him in that. And so much of it depends on our being willing to let go and release to him what we believe. What is truth will come back. What is not, we don't want to be believing a lie. And there are things that we believe that he's not ready to take from us. So we don't need to worry about, you know, this is, you know, well, you know, so-and-so says this isn't true. God, what do you say? And he just says, don't worry about it. It may be he's just not, that's not what's really important to you to talk about. It's just a distraction. So be paying attention to what God is talking to you about. Now, we've been, again, talking about setting goals in the supernatural realm. And not surprisingly, this brings up a lot of questions, a lot of issues regarding the differences between Old Testament, Old Covenant, and New Testament approaches to the supernatural realm. We hear a lot about how we aren't supposed to be involved in anything supernatural, that it's a sin, that it's forbidden. But if you get specific, you'll find that a lot of those beliefs are based on laws written in the Old Covenant. And so let's stop and look at the difference between what may have been necessary under the Old Covenant and what impact living according to the New Testament can make for us now. Before you became a Christian, you were spiritually dead. So you had, and of course this is true of those living under the Old Covenant, they did not have life available to them. But even though it was available to you, there was a time when you did not have a living spirit. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and source of life, you became a spirit being. But before then, as a dead spirit being, you didn't have any defense or way of, you didn't have any authority over anything in the supernatural realm. You were part of the supernatural realm. So this goes back to the authority levels. And if you sort of think of the three realms of reality as like strata in the earth, you know, you cut earth apart, you can see the different sand levels, the little different dirt levels. Well, the natural realm is the lowest. And above that is the supernatural realm, and above that is the spiritual realm. And within each one of those realms, there's a different level of authority. The natural realm has authority over only within the natural realm. Those beings in the supernatural realm and those laws in the supernatural realm, the way the supernatural realm works, only has authority within the supernatural realm and the lower realm, which is the natural realm. Now, those in the spiritual realm have authority within the spiritual realm and over the lower realms, the supernatural and the natural. So when you did not have a spirit, when you were dead in your spirit, you could not have authority over all aspects of the supernatural realm. You did have authority over all natural, everything in the natural realm, but not over all things in the supernatural realm. Now that you are a spirit being, you not only can have authority over everything in the supernatural and natural realms, you have all authority, and you have all responsibility over the supernatural and natural realms. So that's the distinction, is there were definitely warnings against getting involved or tempting or taking on things in the supernatural realm when you were only a supernatural being. because you are vulnerable to beings that are stronger than you in the supernatural realm if you're not a spirit being. Now, if you are a spirit being, you have full authority and full power and responsibility over things, all things, in the supernatural and natural realms. You and I both know of, you know, movies and books and even maybe people who are involved in the supernatural things that are not Christians. Well, why there is a danger for them is because they do not have, they cannot be objective. They cannot be protected. They cannot be, they are at risk. Because they are dealing with beings that are, some are going to be lesser powerful, less powerful, and but some are going to be more powerful. And they can be deceptive and oppressive and misleading and dangerous, as well as encouraging and positive as well. But there's no way, because you are without God, if you are trying to be involved in the supernatural realm, there is no way to objectively evaluate your situation. You are still relying on supernatural elements, your mind, will, and emotions, to gain information from the spiritual realm, from the supernatural realm. And you're not going to be able to do that because you're at the same level. Now, once you become a living spirit, nothing, you still have those same supernatural vulnerabilities, but you now have the opportunity to rise above them, to exert power over them, to exert authority over them, because you now have authority because you are a spirit being. So as we learn more and more about the supernatural realm, and we learn more and more about the spiritual realm, the Lord will draw us and encourage us to stretch and out of our comfort zone to find ways to exert his authority, which is now our authority, in the supernatural realm. Now, most of us have no qualms about interacting with the natural realm. It can be a good interaction or a bad interaction. But we don't have any, we understand we have both ability and authority and responsibility to change our physical environment. We can do everything from planting food to painting our walls, to moving about, to walking about, to driving about, to flying about, to sailing about. We consume elements of the natural realm. We eat. We breathe. These are all natural functions we experience. And we do it out of the strength of our mind, will, and emotions. We make choices about whether we're going to turn right or turn left. So we understand that the authority relationship, in other words, we don't let the physical realm dictate to us, for the most part, the choices we make. Now, sometimes we unwittingly do. But that's backwards, because it's your soul as a function of the supernatural realm that has authority over the natural realm. So as the Lord draws us, he wants us to be as comfortable exerting authority and living and moving and having our being as a spirit overcoming the supernatural realm. Now, so many of us have concerns about that. And for some, there's just questions, and for some, there's just not much interest, but for some, there's real fear. Now, that fear may be based on a past experience or a warning from someone who's had a past experience or a teaching or, you know, whatever. What's important is deal with the fear. In one way, shape, or form, God is going to teach you how to overcome and rule and reign over both the supernatural and natural realms. That's a done deal. But he does not want any of us to pass by opportunities for the sake of the end. So for God, the means of our getting there is just as important as us getting there. So if when you think about what God might have in store for you, when we think about making mistakes, and this is true across the board, when we think about making mistakes and when we think about failing God or displeasing him or missing out on his blessing, or when we think about asking God to do something for us and we get a tightness, or we draw back, or we think we have the scripts that I'm not good enough, well, I don't deserve this. That's what God wants you to deal with. As we move forward and learn to rule and reign over the supernatural realm, again, that's a done deal. That's going to happen. But what comes to the surface in the meantime, that's what's important to God. Because you are his goal. You are his purpose. He wants to free you from that fear. He wants to heal that wound, change that belief, and reveal himself. He wants to prove himself trustworthy, not just by the power of your so-called faith, but by showing up when you need him. So it's not about you doing the right thing or having the right response. And I'm sure all of us have that concern. Well, what if God, you know, what if this suddenly happened? What if an angel suddenly appeared? What if a demon suddenly appeared? What if I, you know, was asking God or even not asking him and I had this out-of-body experience? How would I react? Would I respond correctly? And that's what God wants to deal with. Not will you respond correctly, but that you're worried about responding correctly. What that's showing is that there's areas in you that believe that God hasn't accepted you in that area already. Now, this is true for all of us. We all have these beliefs that there are areas in our lives that we have not experienced his unconditional acceptance, that he likes you just the way you are, and that there's nothing you can do to make him not be happy with you. So you can make millions of mistakes, and you can take on more than you're able. And you will take on more than you're able, because this is just another way God proves himself. He will put you into situations that you can't handle. But he will never put you in a situation that he can't handle. And you can fail over and over and over again, and that's exactly what God wants. Go to him and say, God, what's going on? and let him speak to you. Let him be your teacher, your counselor, your trainer. And when we need it, he picks us up, brushes us off, and sets us back on our feet. He's got a plan and a strategy carved out just for you, and we can just let him be the God. So we'll pick it up here for next Saturday. Until then, we again get together on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 7:30. And on Thursdays, we're really going to be going into in-depth on this topic. So we welcome you to visit us. And, of course, the archives are always available. And also visit us at wecanprepare.org. You can get the books there under store. And, again, sign up for the blog. We're happy to provide all this free of charge. The books, there is a donation requested for those. But thank you for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio, and we'll see you again Monday morning. Bye-bye.